The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. In today's sermon in our Revelation series, we find a great voice of much people praising God with complete unity, crying out, Alleluia. The basis of their praise was salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Join us as we learn more about this fourfold Alleluia, giving praise to God for His deliverance.
Last time we looked at the 18th chapter of Revelation, and practically all of that chapter is about the final fall of Babylon. And you remember that we've twice emphasized that the largest city, or rather the city that is mentioned the most often in the Bible, is Jerusalem. And that's the city of God. The city that's mentioned the second most often in the scripture is Babylon. And I just want to read a few verses again in chapter 18 just to refresh you of this. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen." And then in verse 5, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." So here we see Babylon spiritually representative of the world and everything in it that is opposed to God. And this chapter is devoted to describing the final fall and ruin of Babylon. So now as we go to chapter 19, we get a different view. We see three things addressed here. First of all, we'll see worship going on in heaven. We'll see the marriage of the Lamb. And then the biggest part of chapter 19, the second half of it, is about the coming of Christ in judgment. So let's just begin in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, "And after these things," that is, after all of these things that had been observed with regard to Babylon, "after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." Now, one of the first things that I noticed about this is he said, "I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." Heaven is not lightly populated. You know, there are some religions in the world that would leave you with that impression. One religion in particular taught at one time, I don't know if this has been revised, but at one time they taught there would only be 144,000 in heaven. You may say, well, brother buddy, that's a large number. But when you think about the number of people that have lived since the beginning of time, that's a very, very tiny percentage of humanity. Here he says, I heard a great voice, a loud voice, a great voice of much people in heaven. And notice what they were saying. Here's what they are saying in heaven. Alleluia. Now notice that word alleluia is followed by a semicolon, and then he mentions, I believe, three other things: salvation and glory and honor and power, four other things. But first of all, that word alleluia is an exclamation of praise and adoration. You know, we sing hymns sometimes that have the word alleluia in them. That's an exclamation of praise and adoration of God. So in heaven, that's what he sees that's going on. He hears a great voice of much people saying alleluia. And listen to these words that are under that heading, you might say, of alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power. Now, salvation just means deliverance. When we get to heaven and the people that are already there in spirit are singing, they're praising God, their alleluia to God is one in which they're praising Him for His deliverance. His deliverance from sin, His deliverance from this ungodly world, deliverance from death. They're praising Him. Their alleluia that they're giving to God is a song. We know there's other scriptures that in Revelation that teach that they are singing in heaven. That's why I'm saying that now, because they are giving adoration to God. And it goes on to say salvation and glory. Now, what is glory? We find that word a lot in Scripture, and we have it oftentimes in our hymns. It's referring to the exalted state and the blissful perfection of the people of God in heaven. That's a state that we never experience here, is it? We're never in that exalted state, and we're never in a state of perfection, but in heaven, that will be the case. So their alleluia in heaven is giving praise to God for salvation, that is deliverance. They're giving praise to God in the sense that they're in a glorified state and they're seeing God in His full glory. And their alleluia involves honor. Now that word honor refers to preeminence or to be esteemed in the highest degree. That's what it means to give honor, to give preeminence, and to give esteem in the highest degree. So notice what it's like in heaven. There's a great voice. Notice it says voice singular, but the voice is of much people. You know what that means? That means it's one unified voice. You know, in John chapter 4, about verse 24, it says that God is seeking people to worship Him who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. There's not a lot of unity in the religious world down here on earth when it comes to being unified, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. but in heaven it is. He says, I heard much people. I heard a great voice of much people saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power. Now that word power refers to force, ability, might, or strength. Notice this. They're praising him with might, with strength. And finally, he says, this is unto the Lord our God. So heaven is a place of magnified worship, a place of magnified alleluia to God, a place where he's glorified, a place where the people of God are glorified, a place where he's given honor, a place where they are given honor. They're in a preeminent position. It's a place of power. And then notice he goes on to say, we'll read verse 1 again, but notice it's not the end of the sentence. It ends with a colon. Notice that. It says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. God is a God of judgment. You know, we're living in a day where people don't like to think of God that way, because man doesn't want to be judged for anything. Man doesn't want to be held accountable. But the Bible always teaches that God is a God of judgment. And notice this says, true and righteous are his judgments. Now I want you to think about that word true. First of all, to be true is to be perfect or complete. It says true and righteous are his judgments. They're perfect. They're complete. And righteous means that the judgment that he passes is just. Just and right are his judgments. They're not to be questioned. He is holy, he is righteous, he is just, and this says, true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now the great whore is the same as Babylon. You can just turn back to chapter 17. You remember in chapter 17 and verse 5, it says, referring to the great whore, it says, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So he's judged her. He has judged Babylon, the great whore. He goes on to say that true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And listen to this. And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Do you know that God is always mindful when his children are hurt or harmed by the enemy or killed by the enemy? God's always mindful of that. The first person that was ever killed back in the book of Genesis. Look in Genesis chapter 4 and beginning with verse 9. Notice what God said. This was early on in time. And it says, verse 8 of Genesis chapter 4, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? This is what God said. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Abel was a child of God, and he was murdered by his brother Cain, whom the Bible refers to in the New Testament as a wicked man. And God was very mindful of that. And it says here that the Lord said, Where is thy brother? And then he says, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And then go over to Matthew chapter 23. We fast forward a few thousand years. And notice God hasn't forgotten about Abel in Matthew chapter 23. And beginning with verse 33, Jesus says, Ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." Here the Lord Jesus Christ, while here on the earth, is still mindful of his children who have been killed by wicked men. And that's what he's talking about here in Revelation chapter 19. When he says in verse 2 that God hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Whose hand is he talking about? The hand of Babylon, the hand of this world. This says God has avenged the blood of his servants that has been shed by Babylon. God is mindful of his people. God takes note of them when they're harmed by wicked men. Verse 3, "And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke," referring to the great whore, that is Babylon, "her smoke rose up forever and ever." So notice just this picture here. Here you have a picture of God being worshiped and exalted in heaven. And at the same time, there's a recognition of Babylon being destroyed, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Worship in heaven is forever and ever, and the smoke of Babylon is forever and ever. You know, that's a basic doctrine of the church. We believe in a resurrection of the dead, just like Paul said in Acts 24:15. He said, we believe in a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about it and likens it unto sheep and goats, and his people are the sheep. His people are referred to as his sheep, and there's also another group of people that are the goats. And the sheep enjoy eternal blessings of God, and the goats endure everlasting destruction. Now look at verse 4 of Revelation 19. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Now you remember these creatures? They were mentioned early on in the book, and they're mentioned 5 or 6 times in Revelation, and almost every time they're involved with worship. Matter of fact, almost every time the word worship is used when they are mentioned. These beasts are not scary creatures. A beast just means a creature of God, you know, something that he has created. And we know that there were these 24 elders and there were these 4 beasts, you remember, early on in the book, that they were around the throne of God worshiping God. So they're still described as, they're still mentioned here as heaven is described. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Amen means verily or so be it. They're just echoing the Hallelujah that was already mentioned in verse 1. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. See, God has elect people from every walk of life. They're referred to here as small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. Listen to this now. I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and is the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Again, notice this is not a small crowd. This is not a quiet voice. No, he says this is a great multitude, and the voice is like that of many waters. If you'll look up that expression, many waters, in Revelation and other places in the Bible perhaps too, you'll see that that's always referring to something that's a very high volume, like Niagara Falls. He says, I heard like the voice of many waters, thunderings, and they were saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent. The word omnipotent means all powerful. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Notice all of this is exalting God for who he is. The Lord God omnipotent, all powerful, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, what is this talking about? The marriage of the Lamb is come. This is speaking of God's people being finally glorified with him in heaven. Oh, we haven't experienced that yet. And the best we have here is so far short of what this will be like. We get a picture here of heaven and a picture of God's people in heaven, but this is something we haven't experienced yet. And it's something that will not be really completely fulfilled until the Lord comes back and resurrects the dead. Because even those of his people that are with him in heaven now are not there in body, are they? They're not there in soul, body, and spirit yet. But notice what he says. He says, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And notice what it says about that. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Every wedding I've been to, far as I can remember, the bride wore white. And here we see she's described as wearing linen, clean and white. Not just white, clean and white. Now, what's the significance of this? We'll look in Revelation chapter 7. And you'll remember this, perhaps. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Here's a vision of heaven. What are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. That's your life here on earth, tribulation. And he says, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now that's just speaking of it in an experiential way. That the only way your robe is white, the only way the linen of the saints is white, is that they're washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Notice there, the article "the" and "Lamb" starts with a capital L. No doubt that's referring to Jesus Christ, not the blood of the goats and lambs of the Old Testament worship, but the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And they have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And again, that's just that's letting us experience that in our mind, and we can picture that. And that's what he's talking about here in Revelation chapter 19, when it says, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And that's not saying that this is your righteousness that you've worked up. No, this is the righteousness of Christ that you wear, that's been imputed to you, that is yours, and you're white and you're clean and you're acceptable in His sight. That's what it's like in heaven. That's what it will be like at the marriage of the Lamb, when the whole family of God is finally resurrected and glorified and with the Lord. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, that's not to suggest that maybe some of the other things we've read are not the true sayings of God. Why in the world is he saying that? You'll find a pattern in the scripture. Even Paul wrote this way, that when he wanted to emphasize something, he would say, this is a faithful saying. You know what that means when it says this is a faithful saying? That means this is a reliable, trustworthy saying. Paul said on one occasion, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I would say that's a pretty important saying, isn't it? And that didn't mean that some of his other things were less important, but that meant he wanted to emphasize it. And Jesus did the same thing in his writings when he would preface things with verily, verily. That means truly, truly. That doesn't mean the things he said when he didn't include verily, verily were not true. It just means he wanted to emphasize it. When he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said, verily, verily, to emphasize that truth. Paul said, verily, verily, to emphasize truth. And here in Revelation, we see this phrase used to emphasize truth. When he says, these are the true sayings of God, what's he referring to? He's referring to this thought that he's just introduced about the marriage of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. It's something that will be real for God's children. Verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. You know, the Bible doesn't present a hierarchy of God's people. The Bible presents the Lord getting all the glory, all the honor, being fully exalted, and then everybody else down here on the same level as servants. That's the way the Bible presents it. It doesn't have a hierarchy in God's people. And this notice what happened here. I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, that expression there, where he says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, is just saying that the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. The essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness of Jesus. That's what that expression means when he says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. But notice, he said, don't worship me. Don't worship an angel. Don't worship another person. Don't worship a brother or a sister. You know, this happened on other occasions. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. I don't think Peter would appreciate being referred to as the first pope, because here's somebody that tried to give him some honor that he wasn't due. Here's a man that tried to worship him, and what did Peter say? Get up, I myself also am just a man. I'm a man just like you are, no different than you. So remember, this picture of heaven is one where God is exalted and worshiped and praised and lifted up. And all of God's people are glorified as well, but they're all on the same level. And that's the attitude we need to have here, isn't it, in the church? We're all on the same level. The difference is we're not glorified down here, and we got to work a lot harder to maintain that attitude. So I hope this will help you see how wonderful it is in heaven, and that one day we'll be part of what's going on there.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com. Or you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.